Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by Career Management Associates. I'm David Chulo. It's about all things in the human resource world. We're going to bring in local, regional, and national guests, and we're going to talk about a variety of topics and explain why human resource management is critical to your business success so that you can make decisions to keep and retain great talent. Welcome to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com and Maine.DaleCarnegie.com. I'm your host, David Chulo, and today our guests are Kathy Riley, Senior Manager, and Barbara Appleby from Barry Dunn Wealth Management. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
Oh, good. Well, you know, I got to see both of you and talk to you both at the Institute for Family-Owned Business event. Jeez, it must have been about 2 months ago or so.
And it was snowing.
Let's not swear on air. That's a four-letter word, okay?
I'm sorry. We don't want
the FCC all angry here. So the reality is that the topic today we're going to talk about is the retirement crisis. And one of the things that HR may not have thought of, or they may have said to themselves, why should I bother about this issue, is the fact that, hey, your employees are thinking about it, and it's a big deal. So I thought I'd start with you, Barbara, and talking a little bit about why this issue is such a big deal, what is suddenly happening that everybody is making it a crisis, and where we need to go from here.
Well, people are making it a crisis because, in fact, the retirement situation for Americans is a crisis. And the reason for that is that there are traditionally three pillars of retirement planning and retirement income in the United States. And at least two of them are falling apart and one is inadequate. And the two that seem to be falling apart are pensions and Social Security. And then the third is personal savings, including retirement plans. And people's savings and retirement plans is inadequate. And if I could, I'd like to maybe address each one of those issues.
Sure,
separately.
Let's do it. Let's start with the first one.
Okay. All right. The traditional pensions. And what we mean by a traditional pension is an employer pays a set amount to retirees for lifetime after they've retired. So you get a monthly income. And there can be a number of variations on that income. You can either get it for life, or you could get it for life plus 10 years. You can get a spousal benefit. And there are all kinds of ways that you choose it. And for the older generation, what they call the great generation, my parents, many people retired with pension plans, and they had an income promised to them in addition to Social Security. Today, the number of companies that provide a traditional pension plan is on the decline and has been for quite a long time. For example, in 1998, roughly 60% of Fortune 500 companies had a traditional pension plan. By 2013, that number had declined to 24%. And today, in 2018, only 16% of Fortune 500 companies provide a traditional pension plan. And this, of course, impacts the younger generations more than the older generations. A lot of baby boomers who have been in the workforce for a long time are still retiring or have retired with a traditional pension plan, but very, very few millennials will have that opportunity. And the next thing, and a big issue for all Americans, is the problems with Social Security. And what everyone has read, if you listen to the news at all, is that Social Security is going to run out of money. And by 2035, the word on the street is that it's going to be insolvent. And the problem with Social Security is that it's being asked to do something today that it was never designed to do. Social Security was put into place in 1935. people couldn't get any Social Security benefit until they were 62 years old. They couldn't get a full benefit until they were 65 years old. But interestingly, in 1935, when Social Security was enacted, the average life expectancy was 61. So if the average life expectancy is 61 and you can't get any benefit until you're 62, the system was designed to work. But today, the average life expectancy is 79 in the United States. And there are many, many, many people living into their 80s and their 90s. And as of the beginning of the year, statistics show that there were 72,000 people in this country that are over 100 today. And if that trend continues until 2050, we're going to have over 1 million people that are over 100. But still, you can start collecting some level of Social Security benefit at 62. You can get a full retirement benefit at 66 or somewhere between 66 and 67, depending on the year that you were born. So that's why the system is failing. It was never designed to pay benefits for 25 or 30 or even 35 years. And a survey show that workers are afraid about Social Security disappearing. 76% of workers surveyed are afraid that they're going to have zero benefits from Social Security. And that includes like 65% of boomers and 80% of millennials. And workers are also saying that they don't really know anything about Social Security. And I see that all the time when I meet with individuals planning for retirement or with participants in retirement plans. And everybody thinks that they have to take a benefit by 62 or 65 when, in fact, that's not the case. And most people would be better off if, or at least many people, if you have some other source of income, would be better off waiting until 70. Because between full retirement age and 70, the Social Security benefit increases by 8% a year. There's no investment that you can find out there that is going to guarantee you, honestly, an 8% return and produce on it. So,
yeah, there's no question that that's a factor that a lot of people don't think about. They do automatically think they should take it by 65, 66, yeah. 67, whichever they... Yeah.
Well, I think there's another misconception that, you know, as soon as I retire, I should file for Social Security. You know, like everything, it takes planning and strategy, and people just aren't taking that into consideration with the Social Security benefit. They think it's something they just have to apply for by either a certain age or right after they retire.
And a lot of people are concerned that they need to take Social Security now or as soon as they possibly can, because everything in the news is telling them that there's a problem with Social Security, and people think that it's just not going to be there and they will have paid into it all these years and then have nothing.
Yeah, there's a fear factor.
Absolutely.
There's no question there's a fear factor.
Absolutely, there is a fear factor.
Sure. Now, you talked about pensions, you talked about Social Security, but the most common one that people think of is their 401k or their simple IRA or their IRA or their Roth IRA or some form of savings account
right.
that typically has been, from a company perspective, something that companies have been funding in matches to offset what used to be a pension.
Right. Well, there, I mean, the third pillar of retirement is personal savings, and the largest component of that is company-sponsored retirement plans. And yeah, there are 401k plans and 403b plans. The 403b plans are more for nonprofits, and then you have simple IRAs and SEP IRAs, and those are plans for smaller employers typically. And then you have your personal savings, I mean, Roth IRAs,
right.
Personal IRAs. And it's true that personal savings and especially retirement plans with the decline of pensions and the problems with Social Security will increasingly become a more and more important component of a secure retirement. But not everybody is saving in a 401k plan or a similar vehicle. About 79% of workers have access to a plan, but research shows that only about 54% are actually saving in a 401k plan. And savings have increased, but they haven't increased enough. So even the people who are regularly saving in their company-sponsored retirement plans are not saving enough at all. The median savings for baby boomers in 2017, this is baby boomers, was $164,000. For Gen Xers, it was $72,000. And one in five workers have absolutely nothing saved for retirement. So if you, there's another statistics that say that the average balance for people over 65 is $193,000. And okay, if you call that $200,000, and if you think that somebody's going to have a retirement that's going to last them 25 years, and you do the math, it's just not going to be enough money. And a lot of people retiring today, they look at a balance like $200,000 and they think it means something that it isn't going to mean in terms of income level. So that's a problem, too. So that's what's going on.
Well, there's just nothing going on in that area, is there? You know, employers, and we're going to talk about that in just a minute when we come back from break. Employers are looking at this issue and saying, okay, so we've provided them the plan. It's not our fault that they didn't necessarily sign up. You know, employers are saying, hey, we match 3%, 6%, whatever it may be. We provide maybe health savings accounts or other way that we try to help our employees. So when we come back from break, what I'd like to do is talk about why employers need to get involved and help solve this problem and what that means for employees. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on Newstalk WLOB 100.5 FM. We'll be right back.
If you're responsible for hiring and firing, you know it can be like a roulette wheel. If your new hire turns out to be a bad hire, well, all you've lost is time and money. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Don't gamble with your hiring. We have a better solution. We've helped hundreds of companies like yours find the right talent, and we guarantee it. Career Management Associates delivers people that fit. Go to cmacareer.com.
Are you looking to hire? Stop wasting time. Jobsinme.com has been matching Maine employers to job seekers since 1999. Job postings start at only $159 with their Quick Post product. Your employment ad can be distributed to over 75 job boards for maximum exposure. When it comes to recruiting locally, you can count on Jobsinme to connect you with qualified candidates in this area. Visit jobsinme.com. That's jobsinme.com today. Stop searching and start hiring locally.
At 154 years old, Verrill Dana has an illustrious history and more than seven generations of legal expertise. With more than 130 attorneys across seven offices from Maine to Washington, D.C., Verrill Dana serves clients across the country and around the world. HR professionals, business leaders, and in-house counsel count on Verrill Dana, one of the premier labor and employment law practices in the Northeast. Contact them today at verrilldana.com.
Today's economic environment presents many challenges. It seems as though it's harder than ever to navigate the investment landscape to seek out adequate return and manage risk at the same time. ClearPoint Financial is a financial advocate for those who need assistance making complex decisions about how to manage their wealth. They inspire their clients to make informed decisions through education, communication, and service that exceeds expectation. Call Michael Toole at ClearPoint Financial, the official financial advisor of the Maine Black Bears.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour, presented by CMAKorea.com and Maine.DaleCarnegie.com. Today, our guests are Kathy and Barbara. They're both from Barry Dunn Wealth Management, and we're having a great conversation about why retirement is a crisis and what employers need to think about and how employees should react because of it. So, Kathy, it's time to talk to you about the employer side of the equation. Yes. So why does it matter for employers?
Well, we know that when individuals are thinking about their financial priorities, we know that retirement planning filters to the top of their list. And they're looking for their employers for boost up when it comes to that benefit of having a retirement plan or an opportunity to save for their retirement. We know, in fact, for millennials, about 76% are looking for investment guidance and advice from their employer. And in the not so far distant future, they are going to be the largest part of the American workforce. So employers need to keep that in mind. I think just from one of the easier things that an employer can think of as to why it's important is that they're looking for it as a retirement, as a benefit. Health benefits are probably the number one thing when you're trying to recruit, retain, or engage an employee.
Absolutely, no question.
Health benefits are probably the number one, but that is retirement benefits are a very close second. 88% of workers will tell you that they consider the retirement benefit an important benefit. And around 81% of them polled will say that when they are considering accepting an opportunity for employment with a firm, that the strength of the retirement benefit is a very important part of their decision process. And in fact, a lot of employees will leave for greener pastures for the same job, same position, if they think that employer has a better retirement plan. And that's especially true of the millennial generation. It's a big recruiting tool, retaining, engaging employees. On top of that, just by having that type of benefit is helping with the retirement crisis. We know that if you have a retirement plan, many of the employees will participate in that plan. But not only are they participating in the retirement plan, but that helps them increase their savings outside of the retirement plan. It develops habits for them versus employees who don't have an employment will either not be saving for their retirement. But I think the biggest thing that employers aren't considering is the fact that 67% of employees will say that financial stress is the number one cause of stress in their lives. And so they are not leaving that at home when they come to work. They are actually bringing that to the workplace. And that is really affecting productivity. You're getting higher absenteeism rates. And that's really impacting the bottom line financially for a lot of companies, and they just don't take that into consideration. About 43% of employees say that they spend about 3 hours per week at work dealing with their financial crisis. And another study shows that equates to about $2,000 per employee per month for employers. So it's
real money.
It's real money.
Yeah.
And another thing is that surveys show that employees who have significant levels of stress are twice as likely to call out sick as those who don't have a lot of stress. And that's true even when they're not sick. So absenteeism because of stress, and stress because of problems with finances.
Well, true. That's certainly the medical side, the people absenteeing, showing up. And look, today the market is a challenge, right?
No
kidding.
Hiring
and retaining talent is a major issue. 5 years ago, different conversation, but currently today it is. So anything that employers can do to lower stress, to mm-hmm. get people to work more. You know, the good side of this is that efficiencies in the workplace have never been higher. Productivity is the highest it's ever been in the history of recorded time. So the reality is at work, people are working smarter and harder. It's just that also causes stress. for them to be doing that. So that's a good part of it. Yeah. So when employers think about this and they say, okay, I get that, right? I'm an employer and I say, hey, I get that. I understand that. Okay, my employees are probably stressed about it. I understand that there's, you know, I can probably do as much as I can do or more as I can do to give them a little more in their retirement. I can try to encourage them. Look, I work with HR all the time. The reality is I do HR. And sometimes it's a hard sell to employees to get them to save more because they're worrying about today and just today. They're like, later we'll take care of itself, but I still got to buy groceries. I got to put gas in the car. I've got to do all those things. What type of education, I guess, is the question, really can be helpful at the workplace to start getting people to talk about it?
Well, I think that's another misconception that employers have, that their employees aren't thinking about it. And we know that individuals in their early 20s, believe it or not, are thinking about their retirement. And a lot of plan sponsors and employers think that they don't start thinking about that until they're in their 30s or 40s. But in fact, they are thinking about it, even if they are in a situation, as you just mentioned, where it may not be financially feasible for them just at this point to start contributing.
And in fact, research shows that all three generations currently in the workforce, boomers, Gen Xers, and millennials, they all have similar, not identical, but similar priorities for finances. And one is, as you said, just getting by. One is saving for retirement. One's paying off credit cards. One's supporting children. And one is building other kinds of savings. And for boomers and Gen Xers, the number one priority is, in fact, saving for retirement. For millennials, because they're younger, it's just getting by.
Yeah, no, of course, it's generational, it's age, yeah. Right?
It's absolutely.
And it is personal. I think that's part of, I would say, the challenge in terms of employers is that because each person has an individual, if you want to call it, situation, right?
Right.
And employers are hesitant at times to ask those type of situations. They say, well, we're going to have to broadly in HR provide a benefit. It's going to have to be consistent across for every employee. It isn't always specific enough to each individual's issues.
Right, right.
Right? That's one of the challenges.
It is a challenge. And I think, you know, we've seen over the past few years that employers were very responsive and health wellness programs, right?
Right.
They'll provide
Absolutely.
Incentives, you know, if you do a certain number of steps, you know, or if you come to a physical, I know at Barry Dunn, if you come get a checkup, you know, in the office, they'll put money in your HSA for you. So they realize
$500.
Yeah. So they real money. So, but now they're beginning to recognize that financial wellness is a topic and an issue that they can use to not only to reduce this amount of stress in the workplace. And so a lot of employers are beginning to look to implement educational or financial wellness programs that go beyond what has been your traditional 401k education, where someone comes in and talks to you about your 401k benefits and why it's important to invest in a 401k. They're thinking more along the lines, okay, you know, how do we help our employees maybe come up with a budget? How do we help our employees prioritize their debt? How do we help our employees decide what's their financial priority? Should it be, you know, saving for retirement, or should it be, you know, contributing to their kids' education? You know, which one of those is a priority? And I think one of the bigger things that I think employers can make a difference, and which is striking to me, is that especially when it comes to retirement, people are guessing about how much they will need for their retirement. At least almost half of workers will say that they have no idea how much they need to save to replace their income in retirement.
Yeah.
And, you know, they haven't looked at their current budgets, their current, what it's costing them to live now to do an exercise. They haven't sit down with someone like Barb and I, who are financial advisors. they haven't gone online. A lot of their 401k providers have some great tools online, and they're not using them. So they're guessing. And not only are they guessing about how much they need, they're guessing about how do I invest it? They you know, which, you know, how you invest can also have a significant outcome on how much you end up with. So it's a lot of guesswork. And if the employer can step in and, you know, create just a little bit more financial literacy amongst their employees when it comes to just basic financial things, but also investing and investing 101, that's important. And working, especially with your retirement plan partners, is a really easy step into being able to create those type of programs that are going to make a difference, not just to their retirement plan, but to their basic financial lives in general.
And sometimes just providing education about longevity and reminding people that when they stop working, they may well have 20 or 30 years where they need to find a way to buy their groceries and pay their bills. It's really important. And when you raise that awareness through your employee education materials, people are more motivated to save. I remember a time when I was doing an employee education thing, and well, back along 10, 15 years ago, as Kathy said, employee education was, you went in, you talked about how the 401k plan works, you talked about the investments available, and that was, you talked about how the market behaves over the long term, but you didn't really talk about the planning components of retirement. And now I'm more likely at times to talk about the planning components. I recently did a spot for one of our 401k clients for their employees over 50, and we focused on Social Security and health care and Medicare.
Sure.
And they loved it because they knew nothing. So
yeah, the lack of education is kind of scary in some ways. You know, I liken it back to the fact that, you know, any kid that comes out of high school or college has no financial real development or training.
Unfortunate.
And that's true, you know, and I shouldn't say none. There is some, but it's not what I would call life-changing, right?
Correct.
It's not they give them some basics. But they're not even teaching them checkbooks anymore because they don't have them anymore. It's more debit card control.
Yeah, actually, right? One of our colleague who has two teenage boys, was just yesterday talking about the fact that when she was growing up, she would see her mother sit there with a stack of bills, and she would write out the checks to pay each of those bills. Everything today is being done online, so kids growing up have no concept that
it's free money.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yes, it's
or
just
you just
free
have
money.
One of those plastic cards that pays everything for
yes,
you.
Yes, it's absolutely, it's perfect that way.
It's awesome.
And parents, you know, my parents never talked to me about finances, you know, what they were doing, how much they were making. You know, if we needed $20, they gave us $20 and sent us on our way.
I'm very familiar with the walking ATM concept.
Yes. But still.
You have young.
I'm very familiar.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I think, you know, so people, financial literacy is an issue. And I met a young person at an event not too long ago, and there was a roundtable discussion, and someone at I forget the exact question, and an administrator from the school that he attended in high school was there. And, you know, this young man waxed on about the lack of financial literacy, and his teacher, they just got in a huge debate about it. And I think it was pretty striking that a young man of that age thought it was so lacking in his educational background.
Well, we're going to talk more about this in the next segment. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on WLOB 100.5 FM, and we'll be right back.
It's 3 p.m., and you just ran out of ink. You have a report due end of day, which is 2 hours from now. You can't push the deadline because end of day means end of today, not end of tomorrow day. What now? Go to your local Staples store. Staples now has an even bigger selection of HP ink and toner in store, in stock, and at low prices every day. So you can get your ink fast for less. End of story.
Are you looking to hire? Stop Wasting Time, JobsInME.com, has been matching Maine employers to job seekers since 1999. Job postings start at only $159 with their QuickPost product. Your employment ad can be distributed to over 75 job boards for maximum exposure. When it comes to recruiting locally, you can count on JobsInME to connect you with qualified candidates in this area. Visit JobsInME.com. That's JobsInME.com today. Stop searching and start hiring locally.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at JacksonLewis.com. That's JacksonLewis.com.
Guys, when you buy your clothes at DXL, you look good. But you feel like a rock star. So if you want to look and feel like a... You'll find all the brands you love, waist size 38 and up, all in one awesome store. DXL, you're looking good. Right now, Harbor Bay long sleeve tees are just $29.99 each when you buy two or more.
And we're back. And you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAKorea.com and Maine.DaleCarnegie.com. Today, our guests are Kathy Riley and Barbara Appleby, and they are from Barry Dunn Wealth Management. And we're talking to them about the financial crisis and how it's going to affect employers and employees. You know, in the last segment, we talked a little bit about the crisis itself and why employers need to have this as a pillar of what they do in the organizations to help their employees, to retain their employees, to hire good employees. All that's great. Could you tell me a story of where you've seen success of employers making this happen, even if it's a small story, but an employee or individual that seemed some success? And that would be the first area we'll talk about. Then we're going to talk about the future because, you know, employers are like, well, we continue to pay for more. What do we see in the future? So, Kathy.
Well, I can think of, you know, an example of when I encountered an employer who was not as aware of what his employees may be thinking about, which I think is one of the obstacles that people in the retirement crisis are facing. And I happened to be having a conversation with this individual. He himself, older, probably definitely a baby boomer, probably in his 60s, got a lot of young employees in their 20s. And when we got to the topic of talking about retirement plans, he said, you know, these guys aren't thinking about that. They're young. They're going out at night. They're spending, you know, they're just having a good time. They're not thinking about retirement. And that was, it was striking to me because I know differently. But it's hard to overcome those when you're having those types of conversations. You know, it takes a little bit more sit down time to make them realize that, you know, if you want to retain these workers that you profess to love, you do really need to be thinking about that. I think another thing, and Barb, you can talk a little bit about this, but Barb and I also, you know, we are financial advisors on several retirement plans. And one of the things I think that we promote is our employee education programs. And part of that is going in and speaking to individuals one-on-one. And I think it is striking to me oftentimes, you know, if we have a welder who comes in off the manufacturing line and he'll sit down with us and we are the first time that individual has talked to anyone who has financial expertise and they have a lot of questions and then, you know, and they almost feel that they're not making enough of a difference and they're a little depressed about some of their projections. But then after they get to talking with us and, you know, we do our best to encourage them that every little bit helps. And it's even better when they have an opportunity to bring their spouse in to talk to us. So just sitting down with those individuals, I think, it's a wonderful opportunity for them to get some expertise through their employers. And it's a wonderful opportunity for us to just make a difference for those individuals on a small level.
And one of the things that I think is kind of cool that we bring to employee education, and we talked about the fact that lots of people feel that they're just getting by so that they can't possibly save in a retirement plan. But what we've done is we've shown through our employee education programs where they can find extra dollars to save. For example, if you're stopping every day on your way to work and you're buying a cup of coffee, if you're buying a Starbucks latte every single day, or even if you're stopping at Dunkin' Donuts every single day, if you would make your coffee at home or drink the free coffee in the office instead of stopping, and you save that money in your retirement plan, over time, that $5 a day coffee from Starbucks can add up to a whole lot of money in retirement. Same thing, you know, if you bring the party home instead of going out to a bar, it's cheaper to drink the beer at home than it is to go out to a bar, and just those kinds of things. And when we've done that, when we've provided that sort of education in an employee group setting, I've seen 30% of the employees immediately increase their level of participation in their retirement plan.
Sure, because that's a practical number.
Exactly. Right? Yeah.
And I think that's part of the thing that people don't realize is small amounts make a difference.
Small amounts make a huge difference.
That's the part that always surprises, I think.
And those small amounts especially make a huge difference if those small increments are made early on. If you save an extra $25 a week from the time that you are 25 years old and you carry that throughout your work life, that is going to make a huge difference over time.
So we've talked a little bit about the education piece here, and I want to get into the future because, right, employers are thinking to themselves, well, what does the future hold if, you know, if this continues, people aren't saving enough, people are going to be working a lot longer.
Right.
There's no question about that. Let's just start with that basic premise. So what are they saying about the future of retirement?
Well, one of the things that's really changed, I mean, we've talked about, people used to just retire. They would get their pension and their gold watch, and that would be it. But today, because as we've talked about already, people just don't have enough money. There are fewer and fewer pensions. Social Security is a little bit more iffy than it has been. One of the ways that people are going to solve the income gap is by just not exactly retiring. They might stop working at the job that they've been working at, but they're going to do something else, or else they're just going to stay on longer.
Sure. Yeah.
And today, statistics show that 56% of baby boomers, my generation, expect to continue working in retirement. And 14% of them expect to continue to work full time. So, in fact, they're not retiring at all. And two-thirds of boomers right now are either already working or planning to work in retirement.
I think that's true. I mean, I think about all the people that I know, and
I'm
on that cusp. I'm 64, so I could be either a boomer or Xer, depending on which I feel like on that day. The reality is I do see most of them saying, hey, I'm going to do something else. Now, I've said I'm happy to keep on working if I could just stand at Walmart and say, you want a sticker. So, you know, that's just as they come in and greeting on it. But people are doing that to
they
get
are doing
health
it.
Benefits.
To get
that's
the
one
health.
Of the, that's one of the main things we're hearing about.
Well, health benefits, absolutely. But also to be able to put the groceries on the table.
That's right.
That's the reality.
And you mentioned health benefits and why they're important. And another thing that, and I don't want to, it's kind of off topic a little bit, but health savings accounts, which are now a very popular part of healthcare benefits.
Yes.
A lot of people just see that as part of their healthcare benefit, and they don't take into consideration the impact of using that as a retirement vehicle and helping to plan and pay for your retirement when you are retired. You know, a lot of those, a lot of people need, you know, they put the money in and then they use it, spend it down that year to pay for their expenses. But if you have an opportunity to invest in an HSA account, there's oftentimes investment opportunity. You can invest those similar to the way you can invest your 401k plan. That's just yet another way an employer can help with the retirement crisis that their employees are facing. And most people don't think of that. They just think of it as a healthcare benefit, not a retirement benefit.
Sure.
And I use the HSA as a supplemental retirement savings vehicle. But I think it's important to consider that people do have different income levels, and no matter what employers do in some instances, some people are going to be able financially to prepare better for retirement than others. And that's a problem. And that problem could be addressed to some extent by a Social Security fix, because fixing Social Security will help everyone.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So talking about the future, right? Tell me a couple of the things that employers or employees can look forward to, things changing.
Well, one thing that could help a lot would be legislative action. And right now, in 2019, there's legislation that's under consideration in both houses of Congress that are specifically designed to address this retirement crisis. And the legislation is primarily dealing with increasing availability of 401k plans or other retirement vehicles, or enhancing those that already exist. And I will talk about all that in just a moment. But a big thing, certainly equally important, would be to address the issue of Social Security. Because as things stand right now, Social Security trust fund will be insolvent by 2035. So what does that mean? It doesn't mean that Social Security benefits are going to completely go away, because there are two sources of revenue that are currently being used to fund Social Security benefits. One is taxes, Social Security taxes. And the other is the Social Security Trust Fund. Now, if in fact the Social Security Trust Fund does become insolvent, the revenue coming into the government will be insufficient to pay the benefits to people that have been promised to them. And so right now, as of 2035, people can expect to receive a lower benefit than what they've been told, so something like 75 to 80% of what they've been promised. The government could take action to fix Social Security now, and I believe that they will have to do something at some point, and it would help people better prepare for retirement if they don't wait until the 11th hour. I mean, one big possible fix would be to raise the Social Security age so that you can't start getting benefits at 62, or you don't get your full benefit until you're 70. And if that were done in advance or done gradually, people currently working could plan better.
Social Security is a big issue, and there's no doubt that it is a concern. And whether they do anything about it is always a question, isn't it? You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM, and we will be right back.
Running a company can feel like you're surrounded. A key person quits. A big project presents itself. You need good people fast. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Our contract staffing service will fill a position or find the right talent for a short-term project. Hundreds of companies choose us because we deliver people that fit. Career Management Associates, your contract staffing solution. Go to cmacareer.com.
Are you looking to hire? Stop wasting time. Jobs in ME.com has been matching main employers to job seekers since 1999. Job postings start at only $159 with their QuickPost product. Your employment ad can be distributed to over 75 job boards for maximum exposure. When it comes to recruiting locally, you can count on Jobs and ME to connect you with qualified candidates in this area. Visit jobsandme.com. That's jobsandme.com today. Stop searching and start hiring locally.
The best paints for the job site are at the Home Depot, specifically new Glidden Diamond Paint and Primer. It starts at only $23.98 a gallon. It's specially formulated to spray easier and cover walls faster. A lot faster. So you're done and on to the next job faster. Better paint means better jobs. New Glidden Diamond Paint and Primer starting at just $23.98 a gallon. You'll only find it in one place. The Home Depot. More saving. More doing. U.S. only.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com and Maine.DaleCarnegie.com. Today we're talking about the retirement crisis and why employers and employees need to be concerned about it. We're talking with Kathy Riley and Barbara Appleby, and they are a principal and senior manager for Barry Dunn Wealth Management. It's a great conversation. Scary at times, but it's a great conversation. So we have just a few minutes left. So what are some of the legislation that's coming down that can affect small businesses, can affect people individually?
Okay. Well, there are three pieces of legislation in Congress, one in the House, two in the Senate. And Susan Collins has actually waxed eloquent about this in the Senate. And some of the provisions, and there are similar but not identical provisions in each piece of legislation, some are designed to help small businesses put retirement plans in place or enhance the retirement plans that they have. And one of the things is increasing tax credits for small businesses that are starting a plan. Another thing is simplifying the requirements for multiple employer plans so that a number of employers can band together small businesses to provide a retirement plan for their employees. And so that's one thing. Another thing that's happening is there's a proposal in one of the pieces of legislation to increase what's called the catch-up provision for people who are over 50. Today, if you're over 50, you can contribute an extra $6,000. The proposal is to increase from 6 to 10. Another thing is there's a minimum required distribution. People have to today start taking money out of their plans at 70 and a half. There's a proposal to increase the age at which you have to start taking a distribution. So those are some of the things out there. Another really cool thing is in one of the pieces of legislation is to allow a match for people who are paying off student debt. So the employers can pay the match of the student debt into the employee's retirement plan, thereby removing the excuse, well, I can't save because I have this other obligation.
Yeah. No, absolutely. So, Kathy, as we wrap up this show, what are some of the things that Barry Dunn Wealth Management can do for employers and employees? Kind of go through the laundry list if they call you and they say, hey, how can you help? What can you do?
Well, I think starting with the employer, one of the best services that we offer to them is there's a lot of fiduciary liability that comes with offering a retirement plan to your employees. And we put ourselves right there on the line with you. We'll step up to the plate and be your co-fiduciary. So, and as part of that, we'll be making sure that, you know, you can focus on your business, and we'll help you focus on meeting your fiduciary obligations for the plan. I think that's a big part of what we do. Also, you know, when it comes to, we have a lot of tools and other experts that are available to us. to help them take a look at their plan. You know, they feel they need a 401k benefit, so they create this 401k benefit and then they just let it go. And they don't sit there to find out what are the ways we can improve our plan. How can we improve our match? How can we increase participation? How can we make it so that our highly compensated are avoiding testing issues? And for the employees, we do the whole spectrum. We'll come in and help you develop a financial wellness program. We really enjoy getting out and meeting with the individuals one-on-one. And also at the group level, just to give, you know, just greater awareness of what's going on and what they can do to make a difference, to give their future selves an opportunity to have the retirement they envision.
You know, it's interesting. This is it's an interesting topic because people don't think about it as much as they should in terms of from an employer level. And I think coming out and talking about it is critical to ensure that they are able to retain, hire, and engage talent. And that is probably the biggest thing, that if employers think about that and they say, hey, we can hire better, we can retain better, and we can, you know, engage our employees, they'll be more productive, less stress. That of a big issue, financial is a big issue, then I think that's great. I want to thank you both for being on the show today. You've done a great job explaining it. We appreciate that. Kathy, Barbara, thanks again.
Thanks
for having us.
You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM. And now your HR Tip of the Week. Your HR Tip of the Week is being sponsored by VeralDana.com.
Hi, this is Tawny Alvarez from Veral Dana. Do you currently have a workplace search policy? Do your employees believe that they have any rights to privacy within their workplace? When we talk about workplace searches, I'm referencing both electronic searches as well as physical inspection of personal property and workplaces. Throughout the course of any search, however, it's important that the search itself be reasonable. What does that mean exactly? Well, if you have received information that the individual has brought a shotgun to work, you should not be looking in a woman's small satchel to see if the shotgun is there, as a reasonable person would find that the shotgun is clearly not present, or you would have been able to see the item. Putting employees on notice of their rights and setting appropriate expectations as to those rights within the workplace is also important. If you allow employees to leave items in lockers, will there be times when they will destroy the lock in order to enter the locker? Are electronic communications frequently monitored and spot-checked for reasons that may have nothing to do with perceived illegal behavior or violation of policies? If so, just let employees know. Also, with regards to this, we're talking only about private employers. Public employers are going to have different responsibilities. If you have further questions, contact a member of Veral Dana's Labor and Employment Practice Group to discuss more.
And that's your HR Tip of the Week, sponsored by VeralDana.com. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and catch us every week at 10 a.m. on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM or 1310 a.m. and streaming live at WLOBradio.com. Podcasts of this show and every show are available at HRPowerHour.com. Have a great week, everyone, and remember, HR management is critical to your business's success.